I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Caitlin Williams joins me now. The artistic director of Pacific Theatre previews their latest production, the world premiere of The Hobbit, based on the book by J.R.R. Tolkien. This production, adapted by playwright Kim Sellady, with additional dialogue by Tim Carlson and Peter Carlone, brings theatergoers to Middle Earth with the rich settings, adventures, and unforgettable characters from Tolkien's imagination. Mr. Carlson and Mr. Carlone star in this show, and I'll ask Caitlin about what to expect on the Pacific Theatre stage between tomorrow night, Wednesday the 13th of November, when the show opens, through to December 21st. Visit pacifictheatre.org for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Caitlin Williams. Ms. Williams, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How long have you been associated with Pacific Theatre?
Well, I've done this job as the artistic director since the fall of 2020, but I first started with the company in 2009. We have an apprenticeship program at the company, so an internship. So I started here way back when I graduated theater school as an intern, and then I've been sort of associated with the company ever since then, and then took on this role 4 years ago.
Yeah, you know, it is, like when we think of theater in Vancouver, we think of, you know, seeing something downtown or on Commercial Drive, but where you are on 12th or near Granville, that's a great place to see. It's a, you know, a central place in the city to, mm-hmm. to watch the theater, and you know, you have mm-hmm. the Stanley close by, and mm-hmm. You're close to Granville Island. It's almost an embarrassment of riches, I guess, to be in that part of the city, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes we've joked that we should, you know, like, rebrand this area as the theater district in town,
right,
between Granville Island and us. Yeah, not just the Stanley, but then also there's Studio 16 on Granville and 7th, I think it is, and then of course, yeah, all the theaters down on Granville Island. So yeah, we're the place to be to come catch live theater, and still sometimes people don't know that we're here. We're right on the corner of Hemlock and 12th, and our little theater has been there for over 30 years. So yeah, we're kind of we're an embedded part of the community and the neighborhood now, for sure.
Indeed. So this is a world premiere. How did this adaptation of Tolkien, how did this come about? Is this something that the Pacific Theater has commissioned?
Yeah, good question. So it's sort of an interesting journey to get to this point. So it's a premiere of this new version, but the original play is written by a playwright and theater maker named Kim Sellady, and he wrote it actually many years ago, and it's been produced across Canada many times. But this version is a two-actor version of his script. So originally it's told with eight actors, uh-huh. and this new version is just these two guys. And they had the idea, actually, and they approached Kim, would he be willing to let them look at his script and see if this was possible. And Kim has been so generous, and many people have taken his script and sort of tried things with it over the years, so he kind of has this, he kind of jokes that he's like the Gandalf to the script or something, and he's like a wise elder that we can ask him questions, but he's very open to people trying these things with it, which is wonderful. And I caught wind of Peter and Tim wanting to do this with this script, and it interested me because Pacific Theatre for many years has done a two-actor version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, of course, by C.S. Lewis, and that's been a sort of a staple on our stage for many seasons. Last year was our 40th anniversary. We did a production of it last season. People came out in droves to that, and I thought, well, wouldn't this be great to do a similar treatment with another beloved story? And Tolkien and C.S. Lewis were great friends, and there's lots of crossover. And so that's why it came here. So we didn't commission it, but it was sort of like just the worlds collided, and it worked out for us to be hosting this version.
And so when people get to the Pacific Theatre there, what will they see on stage? I mean, you mentioned two performers.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what the stage will look like, mm-hmm. are you taking us into that world, say, that we're all familiar with if we've read the books or watched the movies?
I think there's going to be actually quite a few surprises for people. First of all, if anyone hasn't been to Pacific Theatre before, just our space itself is quite unique. We have what's called an alley stage. So that's when the stage is right in the middle of the room and the seats are on either side. So It's 60 seats on either side. It's quite an intimate and small room. So it's almost like theater in the round, but not quite. And it creates this real, like, living room kind of atmosphere, a real intimacy and, like, collective experience between you and the other audience members, which is lovely. And always poses a great challenge then for directors and creators and designers. Like, how are we going to do this in here? So, again, these guys have not, we're not trying to do the film on stage. We're not trying to recreate that. And so they have done this whole different idea of, they've created a 1970s basement room, like a rumpus room. And everything that's in the room is going to be used to tell the story of The Hobbit. And so different objects become, like, transform and become different parts of the story. And it's really creative, really imaginative, and like, a totally different way to tell this beloved tale, which I think will be exciting for people to watch.
That must be fun for whoever's designing the set to find all those pieces so from the 1970s.
So much thrifting. Yeah. So much thrifting. I overheard talk about a lava lamp yesterday. I tried to track one of those down. The idea behind that is, like, we all kind of, for many of us who grew up with the story, I know for me personally, like, my dad read it to us at bedtime. Like, there's a very sort of nostalgic and warm feeling we have to some of these beloved stories from our childhood. And even I would say with the films, like, I have a, like, a nostalgia memory of, like, seeing those films at Christmas time, which is kind of interesting, I think, because the films came out at Christmas. Like, there's not a direct connection with Christmas in the story, but something in it feels like a wintertime cozy story. So anyway, that's what they were sort of inspired by. And then they have this idea of, like, these two guys, they come together and they always play this board game together, almost Dungeons and Dragons kind of style. And what would happen if there was some magic that got let loose in the room, and then objects start helping them tell the story, and we're off to the races from there, and then we're into The Hobbit. It's really fun.
Yeah, you mentioned that the holiday season, this runs just before Christmas, up until before Christmas, so this makes it such an ideal time for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so. We noticed last year with Lion Witch and the Wardrobe, like, just so many families wanting something to come out and do, and this one we'd say is appropriate for ages 8 years old and up, and so people have kids and family, or they're just looking for something perhaps a little bit different to go out and do at this time of year. I think this is a good offer.
And if you're a devotee of Tolkien, this is definitely something to see. And if you're like me, who hasn't tackled the books or watched the films even, there'll be something for me definitely to find worthwhile, right?
I think it'd be a great introduction if someone is, you know, outside of this world and don't, not a huge Tolkien nerd. And we also welcome the people who love these stories. I know they're also so beloved. So, yeah, we really are trying to make it, trying to open the story up for new people and, of course, treat it with great honor and respect for those for whom it's so beloved.
Well, why do you think it is that, cause we were chatting just before we started about, someone like myself who's not immersed himself in this world. What makes theater an ideal place for me to, say, enter that world? I mean, I can't think of a better way if I wanted to know the story of The Hobbit or get into the world of Tolkien, to do it in a theater.
Yeah, well, I just think that is the beauty and the reason why theater has lasted this long and why people keep coming back to it is because we are, in our essence, all of us, we're storytelling creatures. We love stories. After, like, the first thing kids do, they can, you know, they breathe and eat and they want to be told a good story. Like, that's in us from the beginning. And so theater is one of the last places where we do that distraction-free, right? And we do it live in front of you. And I just really believe in the power, and not just the power of it, like the necessity of it. I think people are hungry for it, and that's why we're continuing, pandemic and all, like everything that's tried to keep theater down the last couple of years, and here we still are making it happen. And so I think, the story element of it is really why this would work well for people.
And you just mentioned something a moment ago. It's a great idea, you know, distraction free. You're sitting in the theater, and you're sitting with other people too. I think that's the fun part that a lot of us have missed over the years, right?
Yes, that is exactly it. I would say that the theater, I would argue that it's actually one of the last places where we have to put our screens away. Even if you were to sit and try and watch the movie at home, how many of us now watch a film at home, you know, without another distraction or another screen nearby or anything, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that it's like good medicine for you. I just think that it's what we actually crave. Like you say, we're missing that. I think people really want that. And when they come and get a taste of it, they remember that.
And so, looking ahead to this production of The Hobbit, it's also funny too, right?
Yes, so the two guys who are doing it, they're named Peter Carlone and Tim Carlson, and they are brilliant comedians. Tim is a really beloved improviser in town, has done tons of improv, so anyone from the improv community would recognize his face. And then Peter is also an improviser and sketch comedian and toured for years the Vancouver, or the, International Fringe Festivals with his fringe duo, Peter and Chris. And so, yeah, both of them together, they're hilarious. They're super fun. It's going to be irreverent and entertaining for sure, which is great.
Earlier in our conversation, Caitlin, you gave us some insight into your work as an artistic director of a theater company. Mm-hmm. You're making considerations not just artistically as to what to put on, but, you know, it is show business. And so the business part, you have to think about what audiences will want. What have you found in terms of programming at the Pacific Theater as to what audiences in Vancouver would like to see? I mean, that's something you're thinking about as you're thinking about, say, next season even, right?
Of course, it's always a consideration right now. And I would say, if I'm being honest, it's been a pretty tough couple of years of figuring that out.
Right.
You know, it took I took on this role in the height of the pandemic in September 2020, and we were completely shut down at that time. So it's been a number of years of sort of regrowth and rebuilding that. Something I think that's interesting about PT is, like, as I was describing, our space is quite unique, and the kind of shows that we do are also quite unique. I'm trying to offer in a season something that, a variety of options for people that are all connected to our mandate. But the last show, so The Hobbit, I would say, is, like I said, at this time of year, it's very clear to me that people want something that is meaningful, but also something they can bring their families to, right? And so we've seen that, and so I think that is what you try and give them. But I don't want to just do The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe again. I want to try something new and refreshing. But we also have seen, you know, not just like comedies or name recognition shows doing well. The last show we did was called Middletown by Will Eno. Not a play that's necessarily has name recognition by any means, but in some ways a kind of challenging play, but the show sold out. It did very well, and I think that speaks to the fact that people are also hungry for work right now that's of substance and challenge and provoking conversation, and that again is something that the theater can do that sometimes we don't get in other areas. So I'd say that's a great question. What do people want right now? I'd say we're still in the middle of figuring it out, but that's part of making theater, is it being in constant conversation with your community as well, listening to them, what do they want.
And you must do a lot of reading for your work. I mean, you're reading plays and works and the sort. I mean, you might be familiar with a show, you may have seen it even, but you do have to go back and reread it, don't you, if you're considering it for the program, right?
Totally, reading, and people send scripts, and so there's lots of emails and sort of scripts to go through, and I have a few people that help me read scripts, which is a great support.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely a big part of it, and I try and not, you know, it's too much for just me to choose what we're doing, so we do, like I said, try and be in conversation, and I try and always just listening and paying attention, and then, you know, that is show business. You like take a risk. We took lots of risks last year, and I'm happy to say they paid off. But you know, sometimes they also don't. But you got to keep. That's the beauty of art, is you got to keep trying and keep risking. I think that's where the good stuff gets made.
Indeed. Well, long may it continue. Break a leg, as they say. Appreciate your time today. Thanks for this.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. So good to chat.
The website for more is at pacifictheater.org. That's where you can get tickets and information. The artistic director of Pacific Theatre, Caitlin Williams, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.